that's Flo, and this is my impression of someone who is terrible at giving directions. So you get on the 506, or it's the 605, and on the left past the new food truck, but not the new one, there's a six-way stop that's kind of like comparing Progressive's direct rate with our competitors' rates on progressive.com, but not. Then take a right at the tree that looks like that guy from that show. You know, that guy that does a thing, and everyone's like, ha-ha!
Directing you to rates in one place at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations.
If you or someone you know is addicted to drugs or alcohol, this could be the most important message of your life. Write down this number or store it in your cell phone, but call 1-800-452-1635. That's 1-800-452-1635. By calling the treatment helpline for drug and alcohol addiction, you can turn your life around. Our advisors will match you with a proven 5-star luxury treatment center that will end your drug or alcohol addiction once and for all. Your future can still be bright. When you call right now, you'll speak to someone who understands what you're going through. Let us help you break your addiction to drugs and alcohol before it's too late. This call is completely confidential, and if you have private insurance, there should be no cost to you. Take 5 minutes of your time and call right now. It may change your life for the better. Call 1-800-452-1635. That's 1-800-452-1635. Call 1-800-452-1635.
Survivor CBS Tonight.
This is the Bears fan source for breaking Bears news. The best Bears experts and the most comprehensive Bears coverage in town. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. Sports Radio 670 The Score. WSCR and HD Chicago. WJMK HD2 Chicago. The Score! Scoreboard update.
5 o'clock, and from the Score Update studios, I'm Matt Rodewald with a scoreboard update. Derrick Rose with surgery today on a broken bone in his face, and the Bulls are hoping he'll be ready to go by opening night. But the team now says he is expected to resume basketball activities in 2 weeks, as experts say he should return in 3 to 4 weeks. Pau Gasol today revealing some news, as he said he had sinus surgery in June, says it was limiting him at times last year. And the league announcing today that some official reviews will now be decided by officials in a replay center and not just officials on the court. The Ames Tribune reporting today the details of a troubled relationship between Fred Hoiberg and his previous bosses at Iowa State, including a time where the administration were made to tell ballroom while at a holiday tournament in order to save money. Hoiberg and ISU Athletic Director Jamie Pollard both denied the story earlier this afternoon. Back to work up at Halas Hall. Jay Cutler on the practice field, limited today. Alshon Jeffrey was as well. Jeremiah Ratliff is back from his 3-game suspension, but Vic Fangio says he's questionable.
You definitely lose some playing conditioning for two reasons. One, just the inactivity. And two, as you all know, I think he was nursing an ankle injury. He wouldn't have played these first 3 games anyway, even if he wasn't suspended. So, and you know, he's questionable for this game. So you put those two things together, it will be a chore for him to get back into playing shape. He probably won't be able to play as many plays as we normally would like him to play.
Tremont Bushrod did not practice as well, and neither did punter Pat O'Donnell today. 10 punts on Sunday. That knee still sore. Cubs and Reds tonight. John Lester on the hill. Pirates beat the Cardinals today 8-2. Francisco Cervelli at Grand Slam in the fourth. That means the Cubs will start the night 3.5 behind the Pirates for the home field in the wild card game. Cardinals still haven't clinched a division yet. They could do that tonight in the nightcap. Blue Jays with an 8-0 lead on the Orioles, bottom of the fifth. Twins with a 5-0 lead on the Indians, bottom of the sixth. Those are doubleheaders today as well. White Sox and Royals tonight on the south side. Join the Score and Dos Equis at Old Town Pub in St. Charles next Thursday for a Thursday night kickoff party from 7 to 9 p.m. Come by and register for a chance to win a playoff watch party with a Score personality and watch the game while you enjoy a cold Dos Equis. Brought to you by Dos Equis. Stay thirsty, my friends. I'm Matt Rodewald, and you're listening to the radio home for Bears fans, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
This our Boys of Bernstein brought to you by Webb Chevrolet Plainfield. Visit WebbChevyPlainfield.com today.
It's a thrill here. We got Antoine Fats Domino, Spike Lee's here. We got Brad Pitt. We had a chance to say hello to him.
Hub Arkish
on the sideline. That'd get any better than this.
670 The Score's NFL Insider.
We sat there and predicted exactly this, that this was who this team was.
Editor of ChicagoFootball.com.
An experienced NFL reporter with decades of experience.
Columnist for Shaw Media and the Chicago Sun-Times.
Jeremiah Ratliff, I would do anything that man told me to.
Taking your calls on the Bears and the NFL.
Hub, with the Bears getting no sacks in 8 quarters,
Would genetic clones of Lem Barney and Herb Adderley at their peak skills also look awful?
Hub Arkish with Boers and Bernstein on 670 The Score.
Ed Hub is brought to you by Ed Napleton Elmhurst Acura Kia. Ed Napleton, second to none since 1931.
Hub Arkish is on the Grossinger Lincolnwood hotline. Find over 4,000 vehicles at grossingerdeals.com. At Hub Arkish, at Shy Football, ChicagoFootball.com. And he's right here. You're ready for your peeps, Hub.
I am looking forward to it.
Well, then you know who's first. It's Frank in Oak Park in his regular spot on The Score.
Hub, on something you touched on yesterday, I need to tab your front office and coaching connections. I'm watching the decline of Peyton Manning. While not great, it's not a disaster. At 39, Unitas was a physical wreck. At 39, Namath's alcohol-ravaged body was out of the league for 5 years. But if Manning gets the kind of owie they can't tape up or shoot up to get him on the field, if Brad Osweiler, a guy your 2012 draft guide rated a quarter click under Kirk Cousins, the kind of QB who, backed by a strong defense, is he the kind of guy who could lead the Broncos to at least a 500 record over a 2-4 game stretch?
Well, Frank, I think a lot of it would depend on the schedule, because the Broncos right now aren't winning because of Manning. They're winning with that defense. And so, yeah, I suspect that Osweiler could split 4 games for him, depending on who they played. We don't know about Brock Osweiler. Other than training camp, you've never really seen him. You know, obviously, John Elway likes him a lot. Gary Kubiak stuck with him after John Fox moved on. And I don't know if he's the backup there or the heir apparent. Those are two very different things. And, you know, obviously, if this is Manning's last year, he would be the next up to start. But whether they see him as having any chance of being a consistent playoff quarterback like Peyton Manning, there's just no body of work to look at. He's a similar body type. He's a pocket passer. He's got a nice arm. Other than that, we just have to wait and see.
Steve and Glen Ellen, you're on The Score with Hub. Hi, Steve.
Hey, guys. Hub, I have a question for you on the Bears' offensive line. Dukas was never very good with the Jets, the Vikings, and now with the Bears. And Omome, I know, was a part of a terrible line in Tampa Bay, but he did have some decent games, and he's still a younger guy. So my question is, have you seen enough of Omome to form an opinion of him, and do you think that he might get some playing time?
Well, Steve, unfortunately, I haven't seen any of them since he got here. We are allowed to watch the stretching and individual drill part of practice. We're not allowed to watch any of the team activities. So whoever he's getting reps with, I'm not seeing it. Now, I did watch some of his tape at Tampa. You know, he started 16 games at guard last year. He was okay. He was serviceable. I think he was better than Dukas. You know, he was actually playing right tackle with the Bucks when they in training camp, when he failed to make the football team, so they were moving him out to tackle. I think the fact that he may have that swing ability, you know, may have interested Ryan Pace and him somewhat. I would certainly like to see him get a shot, because Dukas is doing them no favors in there. You know, you're being a little kind. He wasn't horrible, but he just wasn't good enough with the Jets, and that's why they let him get away. But he was an emergency fill-in for the Vikings last year, and he was horrible. And, you know, so far in his 3 games with the Bears, he hasn't been very good, let's just say that. Although it's been more the penalties and the mental mistakes than it has flat-out missed blocks or getting anybody blown up.
In Oswego, this is Wendy on The Score. Hello, Wendy.
Hey, Hub. Wonderful to talk to you. I just, we're huge Bear fans. And what do you think about the chances of Matt Forte getting traded?
You know, Wendy, I don't think it's something that Bears fans have some concern about. When your best players, it feels like a rebuild now, because it is. That's why you take 6-round picks for Jared Allen and John Bostic. But they don't take with them a sense of Bear Nation, if you will. If they were to deal
Matt Forte, that would be a real kind of punch in the gut for Bears fans. And I think if they could get fair value, they probably would deal him because that is where they're at right now. They should be piling up draft choices. But at the end of the day, fair value for Matt Forte right now by NFL standards would be a third or a fourth round pick. You've got an eight-year running back who'll turn 30 in December. He's not showing any signs of decline yet. But he's a free agent at the end of the year. And so I think unless a team is extremely desperate, they're not going to part with a third or a fourth round pick for a 30-year-old running back that they don't control after this season. So I think the Bears are going to be able to trade him even if they decided they want to.
Rogers Park. Brian, you're on the score with Hub.
Hey, Hub. Honored to talk to you. I just have a quick question about the Washington Redskins backfield. Is Matt Jones the real deal? Is he going to end up taking over Alfred Morris's position by the end of the year?
Boy, that sounds like a fantasy question. I don't know. I mean, he had the one big game. A lot of people are crediting Bill Callahan with what he's done with that Washington offensive line. And, Trent Williams is a Pro Bowler at left tackle. They used a pick in front of the Bears to take Brandon Scherff, which I thought was a bit of a reach, but he is starting and playing okay. Alfred Morris has been a real productive running back for him. So my guess is that the plan for now is to go with the two running back system to, rotate them in and out and see whichever one is hot. So if it is a fantasy question, I don't have great news for you on either one of them. But Alfred Morris is only in his fourth season, so it's not like Jones was brought in to replace him. I expect they will continue to try and use them both and to focus on running the football because we're now learning Kirk Cousins isn't very good throwing it.
Next is Mark in Peoria on Sports Radio 670.
Hey, I was just wondering, what do you think is fair value dollars-wise in years for Alshon Jeffrey, and what do you think he'll actually get?
Oh, that's a great question.
It is.
If you're going to give him, quote, the big deal, it's not going to be for less than 4 or 5 years. So if you're going to re-sign him, it's going to be a 4 or 5 year deal. Are you re-signing him as a number one or a number two? That's what he's got to get healthy and prove to us. If it's a number one, the going rate is about $40 to $45 million over 5 years with about $20 to $22 million of that guaranteed. If he establishes over the course of the season that he is not a number one receiver, that he's more of a number two, then you're looking at a 3 or 4 year deal that's in the $20 million range, and the guaranteed dollars are probably about $12 million. So I would think those are your options. I do think, though, we've seen he's probably not going to get franchised. I mean, they're either, based on his inability to stay on the field now, he's either going to have to show that he's a guy worth keeping, or they will probably let him test free agency if it turns out he's looking more like a number two because you just drafted Kevin White with the 7th overall pick.
In Deerfield, this is Brandon on the score.
Thanks for taking my call. Given the popularity of DraftKings and FanDuel and fantasy football and other commissioners that embrace gambling, mainly Adam Silver, why is the NFL so slow to accept gambling and acknowledge that it's pushing the popularity of the sport?
Well, Brandon, there's really two different questions there because the NFL will argue long and hard and well past all the appeals they've lost and everything else that fantasy is not gambling. And we know that it's a game that you are playing in the hopes of winning money, but the league wants us to believe, and I think fantasy players might argue that it's more a game of skill than a game of luck. Whereas, gambling against the point spread is strictly a game of luck. I know there's people who claim that they have the skill and they can pick constant winners for you, but history proves that to be absolutely untrue. So you also, I don't think there's any great fear of the mafia or some heavy gambling syndicate coming in and trying to get the players to impact fantasy football. That's always been one of the arguments against gambling on professional sports. I think the owner's argument and position would be that fantasy actually helps generate interest in the game as opposed